Let's thank the team for leading us this morning. As you know, some of you may know, Pastor Matt and family had the opportunity to go back home to Yuma for Christmas. They hadn't been there in several years. And just a thanks to this team, Pastor Josh stepped in, but as well Betty and Justin and Jacob and the many who have been contributing over the last few weeks. It's part of empowering people to do ministry, and it's a good thing to see. All right, everybody, do me a favor. David, could we throw the house lights up for just a minute? Because I know what today's like. We're all tired, aren't we? Well, I want us to do something for just a moment. I want you to think about a verse, and it's a verse perhaps you are familiar with, have heard before. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a, does anybody know it? New creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. If you can recite that with me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Everybody close your eyes for a minute. Take a deep cleansing breath. Just be thankful I'm not going to make us do calisthenics this morning. But seriously, I want us to just perhaps recite that verse over in our minds a moment. What was it like when God created something new in you? Do you remember your emotions? Perhaps tears? Was there joy? Fear? Maybe it wasn't a specific moment, but maybe it was over a period of time, and you just saw things in you change. Your perspective change. Hope was something that was a part of the newness. Perhaps you're here today and you're not sure you could say that God has done a new work in you. Father, as we close out this year and this series on A Christmas Carol, Father, help us to lean into what your word says about rebirth, what your word says about newness, and what the miraculous work it is that you desire to do in each one of us. Not just as a one-time thing, while that is a very special time and a special series of miraculous works in us, is that, God, you are continually regenerating us and making us new through your Holy Spirit. God, as we come upon this last Sunday of 2015, Lord, our minds think back a little bit perhaps to just all that took place for us individually and us collectively as a body of believers. Perhaps our minds race ahead of all that is to come. Again, maybe with some anticipation and expectation, but also maybe with some fear and trepidation, some concern, some great big questions. God, I pray that today, as we study your word, I pray that you would remind us of the goodness it is to be in Christ, that you would not only help us to celebrate that well, but that, God, you would burden us. God, burden us with the desire for others who don't know that hope. Burden us as a church to not just share words, but to share life and to point people to you. God, help us to play our role in that. Help us to not minimize it. And even though this day we're weary, we're tired perhaps from a lot of celebrations and a lot of running and traveling, God, I would pray that you would awaken right now our spirits. Because it is your word, God, that gives us life. It is your son, Jesus, that gives us the opportunity to be born again. And God, it is your Holy Spirit working in us, continually making us new when we feel weary, when we feel tired and broken by this world. God, draw us to yourself in worship. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Well, today we come upon these final scenes from this story, A Christmas Carol. And I don't know about you, but this has been a lot of fun. It's been such a joy to take this story, which we played out on stage in just a beautiful way. In fact, just the other day, I was at Walmart, and I was picking up a prescription, and just swung in to do that, and I can't remember. This is just a couple days ago. I can't remember what day it was. But anyways, and I was waiting, and the lady was getting my bag off of the rack of where all the prescriptions are, and she pulled it out, and she's ringing it up, and she said, "Are you the minister at the Church of the Brethren?" It's always a loaded question, you know? I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I just want to tell you how wonderful and beautiful the presentation of it." And I said, "You was." She said, "We just so enjoyed it." And I said, you got an opportunity to come and see it." And she said, "Yes." And she said, "I can't tell you how meaningful it was to us, my husband and I." And she said, "So have you got much response on the questions in the bulletin?" Or excuse me, the program. Matt keeps correcting me, sorry. In the program, you know, we had the various topics and questions to look at. She said, "Have you got much response?" And I said, "Well, we really weren't asking for a response. We were just wanting people to take those things and do it on their own." And she said, "Well, I told my husband the other day that after the first of the year, we're going through every one of those." And I was like, "Woohoo, that's cool." It was a great story, and I know we've celebrated it much, and it is all for God's glory. But we come around to the end of this, and Stave, let me back up. We've witnessed much in the life of this man known as Ebenezer Scrooge. This once bitter and miserly old fellow was essentially reborn into something completely different. Stave 5, which is the last part of this story, is titled "The End of It." But it really marks the beginning in Scrooge's life, much like the beginning of us finding salvation in Christ. After facing his death, he is reborn into a new life, and he embraces it. Last week, we saw the scene from the graveyard, and you might expect from anyone who's gone through something like that, who's been given a second chance at living, his attitude, his perspective, everything has changed. But not the people that he's around, but how he reacts to them. So take a look, a glimpse of what Scrooge is now like.
Turkey, the big one.
It's hanging there now.
Is it? Well, go and buy it.
What's it?
I'm in earnest. Yes, I am. Go and buy it. less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you half a crown.
Whoosh!
My dear sirs, how do you do? How do you do?
How do you do?
A Merry Christmas to you.
Mr. Scrooge?
Yes, that is my name. It may not be pleasant to you. Let me ask your pardon. And will you have the goodness to take...
Why, bless me, Mr. Scrooge. Are you in earnest?
If you please, not a farthing less. There are a great many back payments in that amount. Will you do me that favor?
My dear Mr. Scrooge, I don't know what to say. Such generosity.
Don't say anything, please, but come and see me. Will you come and see me?
We will.
Mr. Scrooge.
We will.
Thank you. Bless you.
Hello, my love. Would you tell Mr. Fred I wish to see him?
Yes, sir.
Fred!
Who is this?
Your uncle. Your Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle? Oh, I didn't know you.
The smile changes me, doesn't it?
Well, what are we doing out here? Come in, Uncle. Come in. This is my uncle. My Uncle Scrooge.
How do you do?
Fred, you dog. Who is this fellow? Not your uncle, I'll be bound. He'd never have a smile like that. He said that if...
That Christmas was a humbug. That people who celebrated it were fools.
Yes. Yes, that's what he said.
It was stupid of him. He won't say it again, mark you. He won't say it again ever.
It's hard not to smile and watch that if you know what that this man has become. And yes, it's a fictional story, but it is so... It's so descriptive of much of what the gospel is about, much of what God does in people. You know, Scrooge is a different man in most sense, and we just caught a glimpse of it, even to the point that people don't recognize him. They can't believe he's the same person. Even his physical appearance, his smile, his once crouched posture that pushed people away has been replaced by a posture of openness and excitement. I mean, the man can barely stand still. You know, he once was shuffling. If you remember the scene from the beginning, he's shuffling around his office, and he's bent down, and his steps are heavy, and he's demonstrating that moving anywhere is an absolute inconvenience, particularly if he's doing it for somebody else. And that's been replaced by steps full of energy and eagerness. That scowl, it's gone. Those discouraging words are gone. The frown is gone. You see, these are just exterior changes, but we all know enough about life. We know enough about human nature that you can only fake that so long. You can only pretend to be something that you're not for so long. And then we get into that point where those things take over, those things that are of our heart. You see, Scrooge's heart was changed. The exterior change was a result of the interior or the inner change. That is such a truth of the gospel, is that if we want to live lives that are full and abundant, we have to live them from the inside out. It cannot be something we pretend or fake or just get through to convince and share with people, because actually we're not sharing anything. We're just putting on a facade. Now, in this story, the reality is that we don't see a glimpse that that Scrooge made a clear profession of faith in Christ. But all the evidence says that he did. All the evidence in the story, and knowing the backstory that Dickens wrote this as the Christmas or the Carol philosophy, was so reflective of what happens in Scripture. And this internal change changed the way he reacted. He made right his past mistakes as much as he could. The two gentlemen we saw in the scene, he made right with them when the day before he basically threw them out of his office and told them they were wasting their time, not just asking him, but even collecting money. And if people were not well, then they just should die. Horrible things like that. But instead now he's embracing his responsibility and his opportunity. His generosity toward the Cratchits, which comes just following where we cut the clip off, where he's witnessing and then walks in and shares toys and gifts. But he gives much more than money and things. He gives of himself. That's an interchange. Anybody can write a check. Anybody can give gifts to somebody. And I know so many in this church this season gave to people who were in need. But I tell you, and you would be able to stand on this platform and pay testimony to the very thing, that it's not the gift that matters. It's the heart in giving it and the relationship that ensues when you give of yourself. And yes, sometimes it's very practical. Sometimes it is money. Sometimes it is a gift. But just as Scrooge offered to his nephew Fred now, he offered him relationship. Something that Fred had clung to and so wanted and yearned for. You see, Scrooge had a new understanding of purpose. He had a new understanding of character. And he had a new understanding of life. He saw the deadness. What a gift to be able to see the deadness of his life and the need for change. Not just change for self-improvement or for the sake of being something different. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It sounds a lot like what God does over and over again. Like he did with the young man who took his father's inheritance with hopes of gaining life. And so he went off and lived in wild living and foolishness, only to return home, repentant, sorrowful, to a loving father. Sounds like a man named Paul, who thought he was doing his religious duty, but actually was not. His own selfish zeal to persecute people that threatened his own position. But he came to repentance after conviction by God. God saw something dead in him, and God wanted to make it alive. It sounds like a tax collector named Levi. It sounds like a short man named Zacchaeus. It sounds like a woman caught in adultery. It sounds like a man named John. It sounds like a lady named Peggy. It sounds like you, your story. It sounds like my story. You see, rebirth is such the culmination of what not only God has done in Scrooge, but what he desires to do in us. And I know many of you are sitting here today and you can testify to how God has created something new in you. But frankly, the longer that has been, the harder it is to remember, the harder it is to think about those emotions and feelings. It's so important for us as Christ followers to recognize that this newness is not just something that is recent. It's newness in the fact that it is a complete changing. There is a different quality. It's the beauty of what salvation is all about. But salvation doesn't end simply by saying, Christ, I accept you and I believe in you. It's only the beginning, just as it was for Scrooge. It's a rebirth. This is such an interesting concept in Scripture because it seems so foreign. And to try to explain it even in an illustration is so weird because there is nothing like it. There's nothing like being reborn. And it's because there's such special characteristics. And I want us to think about a couple of these because I want us to think about not only how God has done that in us, perhaps, but maybe how God wants to do that in you. We have to be a church that celebrates every rebirth. We have to be a church that is not only compassionate toward others who need that, not as if we're trying to sell them something, not as if we're going to gain something from it, but because God has burdened us so deeply. John 1, 12 and 13, this is on the screen. John says, "Yet all who received him," that is Christ, "to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." That means while we were once separated, we are now born back into his family. You see, this is the second birth. We all undergo an original birth. It is a human birth, a birth of the flesh. And while God created that to be a very good thing, the fall contaminated that. And that still happens. Not one of us can say we haven't been born physically. But Jesus himself speaks to a man named Nicodemus in John 3. He speaks of this concept of what it means to be reborn or born again. But there's some things I want us to catch, some things that I think are incredibly important to you and I as we follow Christ and as we lead other people to Christ. Things that we cannot just brush off as just a normal activity or just something we know and are familiar with, and it's not all that special. No, it is a miraculous, wonderful work of God. If you would join me in John 3, there's only going to be one passage of scripture on the screen, and Regina can put that up when we get there, but I want to bring us back into this story where Jesus is teaching Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee. He's a member of the ruling council. And what that means and why that matters to us, his people were trying to eliminate Jesus because Jesus was threatening him. Jesus was threatening their very existence, what they made money and profit off of. While it was presented as a religious, holy career or even behavior, it was fake. And so in chapter 3, John says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night." That's important. He didn't want to be seen by his fellow Pharisees. "But he said, 'Rabbi,'" which also means teacher, "'we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" And then Jesus says in verse 3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And this is where Nicodemus just says, "Now wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. How are you born again? That's impossible. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." I mean, it's such a crude, crass comment, but this shows you what he's trying to grasp, what he's trying to understand. And then Jesus says this in verse 5, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And he goes on to have a further, deeper conversation with John. But here's what I want us to grasp. Here's why this is important to us. To be born again means that there's a new birth. It's a completely different type of birth. The first birth that we all undergo is physical. The second birth, the rebirth, is a birth that is spiritual. And see, every one of us have to undergo a spiritual rebirth in order to be right with God. That's huge as we reach out to people. People who say, "Well, I just want to come to church," or I just want to read my Bible. I just want to sing some songs to God. All of that's great and wonderful, but in and of itself, it's nothing. It's nothing without undergoing a spiritual birth. And let me just tell you, God created us, you and I, for that. He created us to be right with him. And so this new birth, this second birth, it is an act of God. And I want us just for a moment to think about the wonder of what goes on when God gives us a rebirth spiritually. Church, we cannot let this get old. We cannot let this become mundane or normal to us. You see, that's part of the burden that I pray that I and we all share, that we long and yearn to watch people be born again, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that we can honor and praise God all the more. You see, the songs we sing about forever God is faithful, forever God is true and pure and good, all of those things are because of what God does in us. And if we miss or lose sight or minimize what God really does in the miraculous work of salvation, guess what? We won't sing those songs with joy. We won't sing those songs with fervency and urgency to tell the story. Now, I understand it's not walking around, you know, all the time. Life's tough. But I was just thinking last night, and we were on the way home from my mom and dad's, and you know, my dad's 80, my mom's 74, and they're still relatively healthy, but it just reminded me that you know, I don't know how many more Christmases I will have with them. And even as I watch them now and watch their lives change as they get older, and you know, we grieve that as kids. But I tell you what I am just overwhelmed with is the fact that I know my mom and dad follow Christ. And I know that while I'm grieving a bit where we're at in life right now, in circumstances, it's not the end. It's not the end of the story. And I tell you, there's nothing else that we have to hold on to, church. But I think about what God has done, not only in my parents, but the people I know in my life. And it is a new birth. It's a spiritual birth. 1 Peter 1:3 says this. This is on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. And what is that birth into? Some great, wonderful self-help program? No. It's into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, this new birth is the Holy Spirit's act of bringing believers into the family of God. I think one of the things in our culture right now that scares me to death is that people believe they belong to the family of God and they don't. Now, that's not mine to judge. That's not yours to judge. But people who cannot profess and confess that they have undergone a spiritual rebirth, but they believe that they are a part of the family of God. That scares me. You see, we have to know what a new birth is. We have to know that God does not only bring us into the family of God, and we are heirs with Christ, but that we also have eternal life. We've got to communicate that, church. And that's our job. That's our role and our responsibility more than ever, is to take that confusion that exists, that the devil wants to confuse people with. And it's not to go and say, well, you're in and you're out and you're in. No, that's not our job. But our job is to make it clear. What people hear, that's God's work in their life. But it cannot be that we have not professed it. It cannot be that we haven't made every effort to make it clear. It's a new birth. And we can start by identifying people with the first birth. We all have been born, but we have not all. People have not all been reborn spiritually. And people may say, well, why is that such a big deal? If I just say, hey, God, you know, I'm good with you and we're okay. Well, see, there's more to it than that. It's not only a new birth, it's a new spirit. I am not a fan of weakening down commitment to Christ to where if anybody's half attempt to say, well, yeah, I kind of will follow, is really what God calls for. Now, again, it's not mine to determine what people's commitment is. It's not yours either. But church, we have to believe convictingly that this rebirth is something special. That this rebirth is not just about a new, different kind of birth. It's also about new spirit. You see, when we are born into this world, we have a spirit. It's our human spirit. And while God created it to be very, very good, Genesis, is that the fall corrupted our spirits. And so no longer, because of sin, are our spirits full of what God intended. They are mere remnants and pieces of what God intended it to be. And that's why rebirth is necessary. Because rebirth is not just a different kind of birth, a new birth, it's a new spirit. I don't know about you, but my spirit can be downright wicked at times when left alone, when left unattended, when left to do what my flesh says is okay. Now, whether you want to admit or not, you're not all that different. Maybe different things, but the reality is that we need new spirits. People who walk with Christ, who have been reborn, undergo a spiritual transformation where by the regeneration of God's Holy Spirit, He brings into our very souls. I can't even explain what that really looks like except for it is a life that is guided by the Holy Spirit, not by man's spirit. And it produces a character in us, perhaps indicative of what we've seen in Scrooge. Titus 3, 5 and 6. This is on the screen as well. I'm going to start a little bit earlier, but keep that up there, Regina. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done. Pause. We can't earn it. None of us are good enough. But God loves us and offers it to us anyway. But because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. First of all, that passage of Scripture tells us a whole lot about God the Father, His mercy, His love, His kindness, His compassion. But there is this rebirth, there is this renewal that goes, that takes place. You see, it starts with a confession of faith, but it's what the Holy Spirit does in coming into us, and it regenerates us. It takes our spirit, which is dead because of sin, and brings it to life as it accompanies and aligns with the Holy Spirit. And then we, as the people of God, say, I'm going to align my spirit with the Holy Spirit. You see, God doesn't get rid of our spirit. He created it. There's good in it. But He says, I'm going to take it and I'm going to refresh it and I'm going to renew it. That then becomes the outworking of our lives, the external things we see. It becomes an obedience and an alignment of which none of us feel worthy of and all of us feel inadequate. I get it. That's not the point today. The point today is that it's a new spirit. There is a life in that. And if you've not experienced that new spirit, that regeneration, and it's not just a feeling. There's feelings, believe me. There's emotions with it. But it's the very heart of who you are that changes. You see, it's not just a renovation of character or modify some behavior. Well, I didn't go to church, now I'm going to go to church. Hopefully that's part of it. Well, I didn't use bad language like I talked about last week. I don't use that anymore. I speak kind words. Well, that's part of it. But the reality is it's not just a better character. It's a soul that's been revived. It's a soul that was dead and has been made new. And see, that changes our perspective on everything. Just like it did with Scrooge. Every interaction, while the people are the same, you see, those two gentlemen didn't change. Fred didn't change. The Cratchits didn't change. Scrooge changed. And he changed for good in his heart. And see, that then becomes a new life. I don't know if you've ever been with somebody when they've accepted Christ and then walked with them in the days to follow. And let me just tell you, you need to. Well, Dan, I've never had the opportunity. Then you pray for the opportunity, and you look, and you be ready. Because there is nothing like walking with somebody who has experienced a spiritual regeneration. You want something to boost your faith? If God is getting boring to you, then you pour your heart into someone who doesn't know Christ, and you walk with them. Don't save them. That's not your job. You're not the one who saves, but you are God's vessel for helping them to walk in a new life. I remember back in youth ministry days, I remember a young lady who was about a sophomore or junior in high school. And she had told me before a retreat that was coming up, she had told me that there's a classmate at school that she had been praying fervently for, that he would come to accept and confess Christ. Now, this young man came to youth group. He came, it was kind of a social thing, but he also was a bit awkward, and so he didn't have a lot of friends. But they had a connection because they went to school together. And so she was praying for him. I was praying with her for him. And I remember it was a ski retreat, I believe, up in New York that we took. And I remember that there was a point where I saw them, the two of them and another student gathered. And I saw there was some pretty intense conversation going on. And so I just stood back. Because I thought, this is not time for to be super pastor and fly in and like make everything good. I thought, nope, this girl's been praying. She knows what's going on here as much as she needs. And so I kind of just watched and witnessed, and they were praying. After they had some conversation, they had some more conversation. She came over to me, and the smile on this girl's face, and I'd seen her smile many a times. And she said, "Dan, I led him to Christ. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like watching somebody be reborn." You see, she knew the struggles this young man had been through, which I believe, remembering correctly, had involved some things like alcohol and drugs and the pressure to have sex as a high school junior. But it's not just those things. It's all the stuff that we bring. I'm afraid, church, that often the church is more known about pointing out what people are doing wrong rather than helping lead them to what is right. And so when you see someone who is missing something in their life, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for the hole that you see. And pray that that hole is filled by the one and only Jesus Christ. Pray that God would come in through those barriers. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. This is not on the screen. Close your eyes and listen to the words. "You were taught," Paul says, "with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." You see, friends, this is a one-time decision, but it's also a daily commitment. It's a daily commitment to continue to say, "I have a new spirit. I have a new life." And we all know, if you've followed Christ for a while, that's hard. The longer you go, particularly as you see victories in your life. And it's not that we never celebrate and enjoy those things. We should. God is not done with you. God is not done using you. God wants your new spirit in your new life that He's created you. Maybe it was 30 years ago. He wants to use that, and He wants you to lead someone else to also experience that newness. It can't get old. It can't get familiar. It can't get mundane. If it is, we better be on our knees. We better be on our knees praying for that burden. People are all around us. If you have no friends besides Christians, start making some new friends. and see what God sees in the newness that can come in them. You know, when we look at this Christmas story and consider the newness of the response of the shepherds, if you want to flip to Luke chapter 2, I just want to look briefly here. When we talked about the willingness of the shepherds to go, drop everything, take off and go. Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary. This is Luke chapter 2. Found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You see, the reason we sing is because of our rebirth. The reason we come to church is because of our rebirth. The reason that we read Scripture and learn what it is to learn is because of our rebirth. The reason that we share about what God has done is because of the rebirth in us. The shepherds were not the same people. They were hooping and hollering, praising God and sharing what had happened. I don't know that our lives should be all that different. While it may not always look like hooping and hollering, sometimes it's sitting beside a hospital bed with a family who is losing someone and none of them know Christ. Sometimes the praising and adoring God takes place in those small, still moments where you are screaming louder than ever, but your voice is softer than ever because you are testifying to the rebirth that God wants in every soul. God has an agenda. And we can't be ashamed of it. He has an agenda, but it's an agenda to transform us. Those of you that have received that, you've been given an incredible gift. We talked about that on Christmas Eve. Share it. Share it with everyone around you. The shepherds had seen the Messiah, and their lives were never the same. Could that be said of you? Your lives were never the same. Not just for the sake of change, not just for something new, but never the same. Because God did a rebirth with your life. He gave you a new birth. He gave you a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide you. And he gave you an entire new life. 2016 has more than any of us can ever imagine. And there's some stuff we know that's coming down the pike for us as a church, for us as people. But my sincere prayer, and I ask of you as your pastor and as a fellow brother in Christ, let's pray for salvations. Let's pray that we see more than ever, not so we can get the applause, but so that God can be honored. A church who's seen people come to Christ is healthy. It's healthy spiritually. And we were born to be spiritually healthy. We were reborn to be spiritually healthy. And so I don't say that to pressure us, but I say it to remind us of the responsibility that we have. And it's a responsibility to share life. And you have opportunities every day to do that and to share about how you were reborn. And not to be ashamed that you are born again. It's become a rather derogatory term in our culture. Well, that's too bad. We're still going to use it because that's what Scripture says. But what people want to see is not just a label, not just a title. They want to see lives that have been reborn. And so that's all of our responsibility. And so going into 2016, let's consider how we celebrate what God has done in us and how we lead people to experience that as well. And watch out. Get ready to walk along with people whose lives are radically changed, much like yours has been. Let's pray. Father, as we walk further with you, Lord, may it never feel like we're just trying to earn your love or your generosity. But But God, may we be just convinced, may we be even convicted that what you've given us is something to share. And Lord, in the high moments and low moments of life, in those moments where we least expect it, God, help us to remember what it's been like to be reborn. And God, for those here today, for those in our community, in our neighborhood, in our offices who don't know that, God, help us to share that with all the love and compassion that Jesus modeled to us. Help us to be patient in that, recognizing it's a process as it has been in us. But it's one we should never give up on. It's one that you never give up on. So help us, Lord. Guide us and direct us in that. So God, as we close in worship today, may it be a worship of celebration. May it be a worship of joy and thanksgiving. Because you sent Jesus Christ so that through his life, through his death, we could be born again spiritually. Allow it not just to be praise from our lips, but joy from our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand. If any of you would like to pray about anything this morning, maybe God has laid a specific person on your heart that you want to walk with and lead to Christ, then I invite you, feel free to come. Elders and pastors will be more glad to pray with you.